This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. A listener asked me to find that quote from Dempsey, Tom Dempsey, who died with coronavirus, 73 years old at the Lambeth House. He says, how about you trying to kick a 63-yard field goal to win it with 2 seconds left and you're wearing a square shoe? Oh, yeah, no toes either. That from Tom Dempsey. And we will always remember November 8, 1970. Maybe still the most famous play in the history of the Saints. More than 9,400 people with the coronavirus have been reported to have died in this country as of Sunday. The New York Times reports that hospital officials, doctors, public health experts, and medical examiners say that official counts have failed to capture the true number of Americans dying in this pandemic. The undercount is a result of inconsistent protocols, limited resources, and a patchwork of decision-making from one state or county to the next, and we definitely have more than 477 Louisianians who have died, as we know, and that is the official number, and 13,010 people who have been infected. And with us to talk about where we are on April 6, 2020, and mind you, it was 19 days ago, I've got the advocate right here. On March 18th, BR gets first case. It's 19 days ago. And that's how pandemics work. Baton Rouge hasn't been hit nearly as hard as New Orleans, but we are third in the overall number of cases in Louisiana, 656 with 22 deaths. But 19 days ago, we had case number one. Mary Patricia Ray spends a lot of quality time at the Capitol usually during this time of the year, and the Capitol is rather quiet these days.
Yeah, well, all of our public buildings are closed to the public. But, you know, a very necessary step right now. And I know that legislators are watching closely to make sure that we pass a budget by July 1 with the start of the new fiscal year, and that, you know, we do everything we can to draw down federal funds to help us recover from this using state dollars. So I have every confidence we'll come back and get the people's work done timely and take care of that other policy that we aren't going to be able to visit until some of this dies down.
877-217-5757 is your number. Talk at talklouisiana.org is your email address. And 877-217-5757 if you'd like to join the conversation with Mary Patricia Ray of Top Drawer Strategy. She's a lawyer, and of course she helped Governor John Bel Edwards get on the train to the governor's mansion in the year of 2015, and you actually started working for him in early 2013, as I recall. That's been more than seven years
ago. I know. Time flies. But in this moment, very, very proud to have been part of the reason that we have such an incredible leader at the top who makes us all feel calm in a storm. And I know a lot of people out there are very thankful for his leadership in this moment, and I'm among them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Democrats have moved their convention, and John Bel Edwards is one of those who is a Democrat, back to August in Milwaukee. And Joe Biden, the presumptive nominee, is saying there should be perhaps an online convention. Now, Biden is spending most of his time in his basement these days. He is the Democratic nominee to be. Should he not be out there every day like President Trump, calling press conferences and getting lots of publicity that might help his cause?
Well, you know, I'll speak for myself personally. I always prefer candidates that lead by example. The president is the president and has a job to do as president, although I'm not sure that his press conferences really help him do that job. And Joe Biden is not. He's not president. He's not currently an elected official, and he's doing what the rest of us regular citizens are supposed to be doing, which is social distancing and avoiding, you know, contact with the public. And I appreciate that he's willing to lead by example when, frankly, I'm positive he would rather be campaigning.
Well, social distancing is important, but people who are in certain lines of work can't do it. Obviously,
right.
Medical people.
Yes.
And I would include politicians who want to be president in that number. And I think Joe Biden ought to be out there like President Trump.
I hope he doesn't encourage anyone from the general public to come to a gathering right now. And that's all that his presence would
do. No, but he could
do.
Be talking with members of the media, and he would be getting attention. And the president, who each day, of course, states a lot of mistruths and a lot of hopes that I'm sure he hopes for and the American people do. And he's trying, I guess, to soothe the concerns of the people. But he's improving in his numbers. He's now at 46.9% approval rating, 50.6% disapprove of the president. And he's out there, and it's the old Woody Allen axiom that 80% of success is showing up. Donald Trump is showing up every day, and as much as he looks flustered and unprepared and sometimes states a lot of things that are not true, the president right now has benefited from all this publicity, and he's even said, I'm number one on Facebook. Kind of an odd statement to make in these times, but what do you make of this this Trump resurgence in the midst of this crisis?
You know, I think the numbers aren't going to stack up in the end, and that, when you're the only thing on TV, people tend to watch it and pay attention. And, you know, I just think from a polling perspective, these numbers aren't going to stick over time. They're manufactured numbers based on his presence as the only thing in the news.
Well, over and over, Mike Pence, the vice president, talks about how Trump locked down the U.S. from Chinese invasion with this virus that they blame on China.
The New York, also a falsity, well, since he only closed off travel from certain areas of China.
Well, the New York Times reports yesterday in an exceptional story by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reporters. It reads, since Chinese officials disclosed the outbreak of a mysterious pneumonia-like illness to international health officials on New Year's Eve, at least 430,000 people have arrived in the U.S. on direct flights from China, including 40,000 in the 2 months after President Trump imposed restrictions on such travel. The bulk of the passengers, who were of multiple nationalities, arrived in January at airports in Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, Seattle, Newark, and Detroit. Thousands of them flew directly from Wuhan, the center of the coronavirus outbreak, as American public health officials were only beginning to assess the risk to the United States. And, of course, the president's economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, was saying, we've got this airtight, airtight. That's what he said not so long ago. Airtight turned out to be not the case. 877-217-5757, Gaston on Highland. Gaston, you're on with Mary Patricia Ray.
Hey, how y'all today? I never thought I'd say this, Jim, but I miss the helicopter. I wish we'd had the helicopter behind the president so we couldn't hear what he had to say a lot of times. That's all. Thank you, Jim.
Well, he is our president.
Your caller makes a great point. The noise of the recovery required after this event is going to drown out a lot of voices. And it's very hard to hear the president when you can't make your mortgage payment, when you can't make rent, when you can't. This intense focus on him is going to fade for a lot of Americans very, very soon.
Well, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, for what it's worth, which, of course, has just been blistered by what's happened over the last 6 weeks, is up today in the early trading. And these things can change in the blink of an eye. But it's up over 1,000 points, 1,014 to be exact, at 22,067. But is still almost 8,000 points below its high of just 6 weeks ago. But early today, the Dow is looking good, and people are looking for hope. And a lot more people have 401ks that are dependent upon stocks now than used to. And Mary Patricia, I remember James Carville in the year of 1992.
When I was in the second grade.
you were six, right? We were six.
Seven.
Seven, yeah. Okay.
Great year, though.
Yeah, 1992. It's the economy, stupid. It's the economy, stupid. Will ultimately the presidential election of 2020 be determined by how the economy is doing? And even if it's false prosperity, based on a lot of hot checks the government is writing right now. And
The economic mood of the American people affects every election, whether it's a big federal year or not. And, you know, I think for different folks, it motivates different activity. Sometimes activity and preferences that are not in their best interest, frankly. But Yeah, I think there's going to be a, you know, you want Joe out there campaigning and showing himself to the people, and I think there's going to be a moment where he clearly demonstrates to the people that he's the one you want in charge when it comes to an economic recovery, not the guy who can't even manage his own finances.
Now, a listener, this is Holly in the Garden District, notes that Trump violated the personal space issue against Hillary in the debates of 2016. You remember, he was hovering behind her and making all kinds of sounds and following her across the stage. And
well, that's solid debate strategy. I mean, we don't have a counter to my voice here today, so I'll be that counter and just say that, you know, if I was advising a candidate, I would advise them to intimidate their opponent with every means at their disposal.
Remember when Al Gore tried that, though, with George Bush? Maybe not. That was 2000. When
I do.
You would have been...
I was in high school.
You were in high
mm-hmm.
school, okay. But Bush
but
just gave him,
just
he,
too
he
nice.
Just gave
He's,
him a look like, what are you doing?
Al Gore is just too nice of a man. And I think, obviously, the gender roles involved in the relationship between Hillary and
That's
Trump
right.
played a big role.
But when Biden and Trump debate, as presumably they will, I suspect they'll debate in person. And
I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, but will they keep the 6 feet apart? They both said they'd like to knock the snot out of the other guy, so... Who knows what might happen between two septuagenarians?
I think that's a one and done. You know, once you've pulled it on Hillary, all it does is sort of look desperate as a redo. It's a rerun. You know, I think we've probably seen the end of the stalking.
Well, and it's also a guy.
Yeah,
it's also a guy, and Hillary. Handled it about as gracefully as she could, and it should have been the moderators who said, hey, we're not going to have this, but they chose not to do mm-hmm. it. Mary Patricia Ray is here. She, by the way, is with child and in studio. Well, what a trooper. 877-217-5757. We'll be back after this short pause with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757, our number as always. We are live on April 6th, and for those who have been following coronavirus, this is expected to be peak time. This could be the peak week, and let's hope it is. Let's get this over with. But right now, the numbers keep going up and away, and in Louisiana, 477 known deaths and 13,010 known cases. And Mary Patricia Ray is here, and she follows life and Louisiana culture as well as what's going on at the Capitol. If the numbers are lower than anticipated, how much lower? If we know 13,000 people have had it, how many do you really think have had it, Mary Patricia?
Well, Dr. Fauci, who I happen to trust, says that up to 50% of us could have no symptoms when we carry it and have contracted it. You know, as I look around the close circle of folks that we're friends and I think some of us consider ourselves to be sort of a mock family at the Capitol, there are many of us who recall having symptoms after D.C. Mardi Gras when we were all in very close quarters mm-hmm. that look like this virus. And, of course, we know several people who work at the Capitol and serve that tested positive for the virus in the last few weeks. So, yeah, a lot of us tend to think, you know, hey, remember when I had that cough that wouldn't go away or that fever or I was really sick for a few days? You know, we're all kind of wondering, did we have it too? Which I think is valid.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're pleased to hear that Ted James is apparently
making a recovery.
I think he's out of the hospital. And he had pneumonia, so he had a tough case of it at 37 years old, and a guy who's in shape, too. So that shows it can happen to anybody. And we wish Boris Johnson of Great Britain, the leader of that land.
Yeah, well, we've got a legislator on event right now. I haven't read the report this morning, but Reggie Bagala, a state representative, you know, was his oxygen levels were a little better yesterday. And so, you know, our whole Capitol family is really putting in a lot of prayer for him right now.
Ann on Blue Bonnet. Good morning, Ann. Nice to hear your voice.
Hi, thanks. First of all, let me say that I'm truly sorry about the persons that are sick with the coronavirus. I want to go back to what you said, Jim, when you said that where is Joe Biden? And I don't think we should underestimate. I think we keep underestimating Donald Trump. You know, I worked with cops in San Antonio, Texas. And what we did and what I learned from Ernie was that you have to be out front. And, you know, there are ways, like you said, to be out front and still care, you know, still be at a distance from people. I mean, I attended Mass yesterday on TV. So there is a way to put yourself out front. And I really am disappointed. And I think people are constantly, those people that are us Democrats, are constantly underestimating the power of this president to say Sleepy Joe or, you know, what about stupid Trump? I don't know. But I'm just saying that I think we underestimate him. And I think it sounds like to me, Mary, I'm sorry, but when you speak about this whole situation, it sounded to me like another thing with the 16 campaign. We underestimate this person.
Well, Anne, I totally agree with you. We underestimate Trump, and one of the biggest things we underestimate about him are his supporters and the ability of modern media to take a really good action and turn it into something bad. So for each one of you and me that want to see Joe out front, and I totally agree with you on that, there is another person who will say that he doesn't have a role, he isn't making policy, all he's doing is stealing press, that he doesn't get it, and he's capitalizing, politicizing a world crisis. You know, in 16, part of, you know, we had devastating floods in Louisiana, and we had federal elections going on. And for weeks, we had to suspend our campaign because we would have looked opportunist if we would have continued to campaign. And so, yeah, I would love to – I wish Joe Biden was my real president right now, more than you know. And I totally agree with you. And I guess I would say that we underestimate the backlash that would happen if he became too vocal too.
Well, he is also being overshadowed by three governors, Cuomo, Newsom, and John Bell. And
they need all the airtime they can get to call for the needs we need, you know, we have.
But he is the leader of the Democratic Party, and if anybody's going to beat Donald Trump this year, unless there's a move for one of these governors.
Well, I think Bernie would disagree with you.
Well, Bernie.
And
Bernie,
I'm certainly no Bernie bro, Bernie, but I think he would disagree
Bernie
with
would
you.
Be wrong. He's not going to get the Democratic nomination, but he is a major force in the Democratic Party. And we know Bernie would be out there because that's what Bernie does, and he just had a heart attack. But Bernie is one of those guys who he's kind of like the other guy from New York City. He he can't resist a microphone. We've got one of those in Louisiana, too, John Neely Kennedy. Neil Gladder once said the most dangerous place in the world is to be between a camera and John Kennedy. But Kennedy has even shown some restraint on this.
Yeah, I think that's smart. And you know, as a political advisor to anyone, you don't want to ever appear to be using this catastrophe as an opportunity for self promotion.
Laverne in Mid City. Hi, Laverne. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mary Patricia Ray. Hi, Laverne.
Good morning. Good morning, y'all. I just want to alert y'all to a thread this morning on Twitter from Seth Abramson, and basically he outlines a strategy for journalists during these press conferences where they get kind of attacked by Trump, sidelined by Trump, interrupted by Trump, and then their question hijacked for whatever Trump wants to say, tout. I would suggest both of y'all take a look at it. It's really, really interesting how he outlines what journalists should be doing right now.
What do you think they should be doing, Laverne? I think she believes they should be more aggressive in coming back at the president. But journalists, I'm sure many would like to do that, but it's considered bad form, and in some cases it might cost them their job if they were to ask the president the same kind of a provocative question that he asked them.
Well, I think one thing they could be doing, this is what I've been discussing with a lot of editors around the state as I work with them on different issues, is to cover much more in depth issues that are not just about the president said or the governor said or these are the numbers, but how did we get here? Why are we specifically in Louisiana? Mm-hmm. You know, basically change the subject on them. You know, why do we have all these disadvantages that set us up to be a hotbed? And it certainly isn't Mardi Gras. You know, we have a lot of other bigger problems in Louisiana that led to us being very susceptible to being a hotbed. And we have an opportunity coming up with some of the legislation at the federal level to really make a mm-hmm. full equitable recovery from this disaster. And I'm hopeful that we'll get a lot more coverage about that in the coming weeks.
Dan downtown. Hi, Dan. You're on with Mary Patricia.
Hi. Yeah, as far as underestimating Trump, look for him to postpone the election with the pretext of caring for voter safety, culminating in a 5-4 Supreme Court decision, a la Bush v. Gore.
Well, we still have some checks and balances. So for right now, I'll have to put my faith in our Congress. And I giggle on purpose when I say that.
All right. Karen Merrifield writes, will the legislature come back for the budget or other things? They've got to pass a budget. How will they do it if this continues?
I think that, you know, look, we can pass a budget constitutionally in as few as 5 to 7 days if we have to. And we can also make it a pretty simple one that just is basically a carry forward minus any contingencies about revenue reappearing. So I have full we'll be able to do something. And even if that means we have to implement social distancing on the floors of the House and the Senate to get it done, we will figure out a way to have public testimony on this budget so that we can pass one before July 1.
There was a movie in 1976 when I was in high school, and it, Mary Patricia at that time would have been, let's see, you're 35?
34. 30, I'll be 35 soon.
Okay. All right. So you were born in 1985.
That's correct.
So you were minus 9 in 1976.
My parents had not met yet. Yeah.
Well, Howard Beale, played by Peter Finch, who got the Oscar posthumously after dropping dead at the Beverly Hills Hotel waiting for an appearance on Good Morning America. He said, everybody should go to their windows right now and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And if Joe Biden did that, I think he would win the presidency, saying the president is incompetent and I want everybody in America to go to their windows right now and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And in Spain, they're doing a version of this every day at 6 p.m. They cheer for the medical professionals who are risking their lives.
Yeah. The American people are going to be changed by this experience. I hope for the better. I've seen some really, really good parts of humanity extracted from this crisis and also some really, really ugly ones. But I look forward to it being over like everyone else, Jim.
Well, Mary Patricia, it is always a delight to see you, and hopefully we will have you back soon. And good luck with the new edition.
Thank you very much.
Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial.